Father, in the name of Jesus, dear Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for a day that we can rejoice and bless your holy name. For this is a day that the Lord hath made, a day that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Lord, as we come before you once again, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for saving our soul. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you, dear Lord God, for blessing us with the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, we just have so much to thank you for. For you have been faithful. You have been long-suffering. You have shown great kindness. You have been wonderful to us and have done great and mighty things, whereof we are glad. And Father, as we come before you, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would have your way. Move how you want to move in this session. Touch hearts and minds, Lord God. Encourage those, oh Lord God, that don't know you in the pardon of sin. Dear Lord God, to cross on over into victory's side. For Lord God, you have great things in store for your people. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that you have prepared for those that love you. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would strengthen your people. Lord God, even right now, there might be someone depressed. They might be someone oppressed. They might be someone, Lord God, discouraged. But Lord God, I pray that you would restore their joy and lift up their bowed down heads and mend their broken hearted. And let them know today, Lord God, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Lord God, if they don't get a natural gift, Lord God, that you gave a gift to all humanity. And Lord God, that is your Son. And Father, as we move forward in the word today, I pray that all things will be done decently and in order. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God, amen, praise the Lord, everybody, amen. I greet you once again in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Good to come before you again, glory to God, and I say Merry Christmas. Praise God to all who are in attendance on today. Amen. And today we will move forward again in a continuation of a series that I began in the previous message. And I will present to you part two of the Advent message series. And just a quick refresher. The Advent season is the period beginning 4 Sundays before Christmas, and these messages will cover events leading up to the birth of Christ. The Latin translation for Advent is Adventus, and it means coming arrival. In the previous message, we covered the Annunciation, or the announcement made by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary regarding the coming arrival of the Messiah and the fact that she was chosen by God to carry Jesus in her womb and from henceforth would forever be called blessed. The focal point of our lesson today will be the conception and the birth of Christ. So we will continue on in Luke chapter 1 and also cross-reference scriptures found in Matthew chapter 1 as well. The Bible gives us to know that after the angel Gabriel had spoken to Mary regarding what she was commissioned to do in Luke chapter 1 verse 34, she asked a question in wonderment. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Although she was engaged to be married, She wanted to know, how could she presently conceive a child when she had never lain with any man? Verse 34 reads, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now I have heard an interpretation by some ministers that the Holy Ghost had intercourse with Mary. But I am not going there, because a supernatural God need not to operate on our level. In simplicity, the Holy Ghost came upon her first to sanctify her, and then the power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, just as the cloud covered the tabernacle when the glory of God took possession of it. It is a secret thing that belongs to God, but it is clear that the child was conceived through the Holy Ghost and not by any human agency. The holy thing born of a woman was miraculous in birth, and he was and is the Son of God, who was fully human and fully divine. In closing, Gabriel declared, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So Mary submitted and became subject to the divine authority and said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, I am at your service. I'm at your disposal to do whatever you command me to do. Now, there were at least two things that was a cause for concern. And one was the danger of spoiling her marriage, and the second, the danger of tarnishing her reputation. But Mary put it all on the line, and by faith trusted that God would call all things to order. The angel also revealed to Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, had also conceived a son in her old age and was in her 6th month. Perhaps this news was revealed for the purpose of encouraging her faith and to strengthen her understanding concerning the miracle working power of God. The Bible gives us to know that after the angel departed from her, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Verses 41 through 45 reads, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is it this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now that which Elizabeth pronounced was purely prophetic. And it shows that she understood the fruit of Mary's womb would be the Messiah. Mary knew that Elizabeth was with child by means of what the angel had told her, but Elizabeth was told nothing concerning her cousin as being the designee who would conceive and bring forth the Son of God. As the scripture says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, or the spirit of prophecy. It was also said concerning John the Baptist that he would also be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. It appeared that the forerunner leaped for joy upon hearing Mary's voice, and perhaps this was to give her further confirmation of what the angel had spoken concerning to her concerning God's plan. And Mary began to exalt the Lord God. And in verses 46 through 55, it's recorded what is known as Mary's Magnificat, which is her song of victory and praise. It reads, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to his fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forevermore." Mary humbly submitted to God's will. It is noteworthy to point out that there are several suppositions as to when Mary actually conceived. Some believe that she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost during her encounter with Gabriel, and that she had already conceived when she went to visit Elizabeth. However, the scripture remained silent concerning the timing, and I am not one to speculate and therefore accept that this is one of those secret things that belong to God. Now, skipping over to Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Just to expound on these passages of scripture, Mary was betrothed to Joseph, which means there was a mutual promise or contract in place for a future marriage. A betrothal, as pertaining to Jewish culture during that time, was the first of a two-part process of marriage. And it was similar to the American culture, which usually in an engagement is presented before marriage. But in Jewish culture, it was far more binding. Joseph was conflicted when he discovered that Mary was with child before they came together. There were certain reactions that could probably describe what he felt, such as shock, anguish, embarrassment, perplexity, or disappointment, and understandably so, because Mary was thought to be a virgin and someone of high moral standards. Under the law, if you were guilty of adultery, or if a woman was found guilty of playing the harlot, she was to be stoned to death. This was an extremity which Joseph wanted to avoid so that Mary would not be subjected to severe punishment. The scripture says that he was minded to put her away privately, or in other words, to give her a bill of divorce in the presence of two witnesses, and then conceal the matter amongst themselves. Regardless of Joseph's emotional state, the manner in which he wanted to handle this shows that he was decent and compassionate. He was a just man, a strict observer of the law. Therefore, he would not proceed with the marriage, but he determined to keep the matter quiet. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So here is where we see that when God puts a plan in motion, he covers all bases. And as I mentioned before, I'm pretty sure that Mary had some things that she was concerned about as well. But every person involved in his master plan will also be directed by God as to what their role will be. Joseph was directed to proceed with the marriage, and God also corrected his preconceived notion that the child Mary conceived was by whoredom. The Lord gave Joseph to know that this was his doing, and the means by which she became pregnant was by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke to Joseph saying, "Fear not." In other words, he wanted to encourage him that Mary would not bring a reproach upon him, but rather a blessing, and he would be an eyewitness to the fulfillment of God's divine promise. The angel declared, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus, the captain of our salvation, the author and finisher of our faith, who, as the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. His name is Jesus, and he came to save, to heal, and to forgive. And salvation was not just to the Jews only, but to all who were given to him by the Father's choice, and to all who believed and received him as their Savior. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the scripture reads, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." This is a reference to the scripture recorded in the book of Isaiah chapter 7:14, where it also reads, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." One of the things I want to point out is that there are numerous references in references of Old Testament prophecy found in the New Testament. And Jesus also rehearsed throughout his ministry prophecies that were spoken by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, Zechariah, and also Malachi. It is most important to understand the relevance of him doing so. During Jesus' ministry, the Jewish nation was still under the Mosaic law. So in quoting these prophets, it was to provoke the religious leaders and all who read the prophetic writings to search the scripture and to see that what had been prophesied was being fulfilled presently, and they were witnessing it in real time. To quote Augustine of Hippo, who was a theologian, a philosopher, and also a bishop, he said, "The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed." So the Old Testament and the New Testament go hand in hand, and you cannot expound on the New Testament without understanding Old Testament scripture. Now, I am going to read the last two scriptures found in Matthew chapter 1 and bring it to a close. So verses 21 and verse 25 reads, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." After Joseph's encounter with the angel, he rose up immediately, and he did as the Lord directed him. This is an example of how God can work on the hearts and the minds of men. Joseph initially thought to put Mary away privately, but after God dealt with him, he had a change of heart. Now, I believe that if Mary's condition had been made known, some might have said, man, are you crazy? She is a shame and a disgrace. Why would you agree to marry somebody like that? And so these are the kind of assumptions that would have been according to the flesh. But if anything, Joseph's role was to be Mary's covering. And so he put all of his former sentiments and intentions aside and speedily, without dispute, obeyed God. When the angel referenced the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he was blind, but now able to see, that he was going to be instrumental in God's divine plan. God had chosen him to play a part in something that was bigger than both he and his wife. So this concludes part two of the Advent message series. And I want to say to you, God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Amen. And amen.